as a prayer. Oh, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew the right spirit within me. Hallelujah. What a desire that wants to have a clean heart before the Lord. I tell you, just receiving the word, as you hear the word, that cleanses you. That's the truth of God. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's sing that song, Fill My Way Every Day With Love, in the key of F. Amen. Do you want the love of God to fill your way? You have to be in the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Oh, let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above. I'm giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the low. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly. Yeah. another, greet them in the house of the Lord and say, fill my way every day with love as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all a while with a song and a smile.
Opportunity it is to come and serve the Lord and be with him today and see his little bride of Jesus Christ as I look out here and look at all the beautiful faces that are here today. Amen. Makes my heart feel good. Didn't want to hear Brother Collie calling me this morning, but there's one thing that about this little dimension we're in. We're going to get older and things are going to happen. But there's one thing that ought to, as our body goes down, our faith needs to go up. Right. It needs to climb on up there and get in God's hands. As we go this morning, we're going to read Psalms. Let me be sure I get this right. 102. And we're going to read from 10 through 22. But before we read, let's go to the author and thank him for his word. I press 7. Father, we thank you for this day you've given us to come and gather around your word, Father, and as your word goes out, we know it won't return void. So, Father, let it have its way with us, all of us from one end to the other. Lord, just forgive us of our sins. And, Lord, I ask, and those that couldn't make it through the door today, whatever their hindrance is, Lord, you know what it is. Just touch them and bless them, be with them. And especially our children that's wandering around out there in the world, Lord, there's no place to be. Bring them back into the fold, Father. My heart longs for them, and I fear for them being out there. So bring them home, Lord. Your word said you would, and we believe your word because there's nothing else needed except the truth, and that is the truth because you said we'd be there with our offspring. And, Father, as we go forth in the reading of your word today, we ask you to touch and bless Brother Wade as he's prepared to bring your word to us, Father. And, Father, we ask now that all of those that he brought up on this morning, the sick and afflicted. We know these things are just things that we see here in this life. But, Father, we must stay focused on your word because this was there. Quit looking at the circumstances, Don. Look at the word. That's what you tell me every day. And, Father, I thank you for that. And, Father, now as we go forth to read your word, you just come down and speak to the hearts of the children and be with each one today, Lord. We ask these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's see. Well, there it is. I can do it right there. Because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Amen.
Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come.
For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favor the dust thereof.
So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory.
When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory.
He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer.
This shall be written for the generations to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. Amen.
For he hath looked down from the height of the sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth.
To hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death.
To declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem.
When the people are gathered together, the kingdom to serve the Lord.
Thank you for the reading of the word. You may be seated.
We're going to take up the offering this morning. The offering this morning and for this afternoon will go to the mission trip, the upcoming mission trip that Brother Luis and Brother Bob will be taking. So just keep that in mind. If Brother Michael would come and bring over the offering. Oh, hail King Jesus, oh, hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. Honey in the rock for you.
give somebody a handshake and say, there's honey in the rock, my brother and my sister and my brother and my sister and my sister. We're out of sequence. And my brother and my sister that gave me some real fuzzy socks. Thank you for those fuzzy socks. Bless you. Bless you, brother. Good job today. Brother Ryan, don't you forget now this afternoon. I hope Terrence doesn't give you the order. You got to read January's birthday. Don't you ever forget January. You can forget September, but don't you ever forget January. Right, Sarah? Amen. Right, twins? Where's the twins? Well, one of them's here. Right, twins? I always told Zoe and Kaylee, I said, y'all were born on January the 25th. I said, I was born on the 26th. Y'all are a day older than I am. Look at you, kind of weird. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Sure enjoyed this weekend, still basking on it, brother. Wayne called me yesterday, or texted me yesterday, and said he really enjoyed it. And he would be coming back in August, but we haven't got the dates down yet. But really good to see our visitors here today. We have Brother Logan, Sister Angela, and Axel. How old?
2 months.
2 months. Bless your heart. Fun's just started. Just started. And it's going to be fun. Yeah. Okay. And good to see Lois and Jordan with us. Oh, they're not visitors. They've been here forever. And then I have something to read for my brother and sister from Kenya. It says, dear brother, greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that you're all fine. And I think we are. I'm happy to be back again to fellowship together. Good to have her back. Remember me and my family in prayers, because through him anything is possible. God bless you, Sister Josephine from Kenya. She's right back there, and her son's with her beside her. So God bless you, sister. God bless you. Good to have you with us. Good to have you back again with us. When you start telling other people that we have a multinational congregation, they kind of look at you a little weird, you know. But ours is not made up of Lula and Gillsville and Alto and Baldwin. It's made up of people all over the world. Amen. So this is, and we, you know what? It's a worldwide God. Amen. That brings us all together. So let's remember them in prayer. Also remember Brother Joe. Solace says she wants to thank everyone that went to the nursing home yesterday. They really enjoyed it. They want them y'all back every month, every week, and every day. Let's try month, Brother Joe. Let's try month for a little while. I don't think we're going to need to go up there every week or every day. But you know what? It's a ministry. It's a ministry, just like this is a ministry. It helps people. It's a conduit that God can get to the older ones, ones that are shut in, ones that their family won't even go see them anymore, sadly, and that we can give them just a little bit of sunshine in their life one day, maybe out of the month, all right? So remember that. Remember the mission trip. We're going to pray this afternoon or today after the first service. Have all of them come up, Brother Michael, Sister Nyla, Sister Jordan, and Bob and Luis's family. We're going to come up and have prayer for you before you leave. Amen. I believe in prayer. Amen. I believe in going to the Lord in prayer. Just remember that mission trip coming up. They'll be leaving on Wednesday the 11th and be back on the 23rd, I think it is. 23rd, which will be a Monday. All right. So just remember them in prayer. And like I said, this afternoon's offering to go to them too, plus the church is going to give them some extra. So just remember that. Now, by way of announcement again, if you can't see it, but that window back there where the media room is, it's been insulated a little bit because, and I've been guilty of it myself, the media room doesn't need to be a place to joke, talk, or cut up, because you can hear it out here in the sanctuary, all right? So if we have anything personal to say, we need to step outside, go in the other Sunday school class, or what more, that needs to be left to, I know Brother Joe sometimes gets aggravated, because, and we all do, they get so full, there's no way to do your job, so let's just stay out of there. If you're not part of the media room, then just kind of stay out of there and let them do their job, and they do a wonderful job, amen. Yes. They do a wonderful job. They get this message around the world. People are streaming in now, and then they'll be watching online. You just don't know who you're going to affect. Amen? So we thank God for them. All right. Also, Brother Aaron will be speaking for us Wednesday. We will have a prayer service next Saturday at 7 o'clock. Next Saturday, 7 o'clock, we'll have a prayer meeting. We're only then we'll be a couple weeks away from the youth service, which will be not the third Saturday this month. It'll be the fourth Saturday because some of our youth are going to be gone. So we're going to have it on the 28th and 29th. Brother Darrell Ward will be with us that whole weekend. All right. So let's keep that in prayer. We'll have prayer meeting on the 14th at 7 o'clock. And I know most of you do know that there is a wedding coming up on March the 24th. And on March the 24th, everything you need to know is downstairs on the refrigerator. Is there anything else, Sister Monica, that they need to? Nothing else they need to? Okay. Just read that and RSVP accordingly. You can do it online, and it would be a good thing for you to sign up early so they'll know who's coming. Also, the Valentine's banquet will be February the 11th, and we need to know who's coming and who's bringing. Do we have a list back there yet, though? Lisa forgot it. She has so much to do. What, you want somebody else to do it? You got it? Okay. All right. I mean, she's got so many hands. She's like an octopus. Sure, she needs to be one. Well, this stuff's going everywhere. But we appreciate Sister Lisa. Amen. But there'll be a list downstairs for you to sign up and to sign up the people that you're bringing. And Brother Dutch Scott will be with us that weekend to preach for us and to be there on February 11th. All right, one more thing. Most of you know June was going to have surgery a couple weeks from now, which will be the 18th for a hysterectomy, but that has been canceled because she's going to have shoulder surgery Wednesday, all right? And I can't change my schedule, so I probably won't be there. So I need y'all to kind of pitch in and see if she needs anything, all right? And I know you will, so I don't have to say any more about it. I'm going to try to get back. My flight gets back in at 12 o'clock Wednesday, so we'll try to be back for that. But she needs a touch from the Lord for her shoulder and the guiding of the operator's hands, that it'll all come out just right, because they were talking about total shoulder replacement surgery last week. That's the only thing you can do, total shoulder replacement surgery. And then they came back a few days later and said, no, I talked to a colleague, and we think we can put that thing back together for you. So we just rotator cuff. And I've had it too, and it's just something that the muscles won't ever attach unless you help them a little bit. So thank God for doctors that help us. Amen. So let's just remember that in prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we stand here today. Lord Jesus, we love you so much, Lord. There's a part of us, Lord, that longs for home. But there's also a part of us that knows that there's more work to be done. There's souls to be brought into the kingdom. There's the bride of Jesus Christ to mature into a wife and Lord, come to full maturity and get away from the milk and start eating meat. Father, we pray that you would be with us now in the furtherment of this service, that we may have some meat, Lord. Your word is so full of promises. And you promised that if two or three are gathered in your name, that you would be in the midst. So, Lord, all these requests you've heard, all the things that we're doing for the coming up year, and the ones that are going on a trip, Lord, we pray that you would sanctify them, Lord. That means clean them and set them aside and then put them in service, Lord. For all of us, Lord, I pray that we'll bind ourselves together more, each one that has a position in this church, Lord. I pray that we would come to a full stature of a perfect man, Lord, so that we can, as the prophet said, lead others into that same path. Father, thank you for the visitors that are among us. We pray that you'd bless them today, Lord. Be with the ones, Lord, that are sick. There's many that's out today with COVID and different things, Lord. We pray that you'd rebuke that devil. And, Lord, that you would heal them and bring them up, Lord, for your honor and glory. Father, just give us this day our daily bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like what my dad always says, Logan and Angela, you're not going to get greeted again because you're just part of us the next time we come to service. So don't think we're going to call your name again, okay? Don't be so embarrassed. No. Did your face stay red like that a lot? Need to check your blood pressure. All right, let's go to Son of Man Part 80, but it's good to have you here on the front row. If you come with Donnie, you're going to sit on the front row. You ain't going to sit back under. You're going to sit up here. Donnie going to lead you. Donnie going to lead you to the front. Be like his daddy. You get up front, boy. So let's read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. So this Word that we know what a Bible is, right? The highest selling book in the world, the Bible. But do they really know the author of the Bible? Do they really know that those words written on there are going to become flesh in a group of people, especially in the end time, that's going to take this and give it to the people, and we're going to take a body change. We're going to get out of here. There's something that we're heading toward, and I appreciate that. Look, the world's heading toward something. So why can't we be heading toward something? They're heading toward destruction. You and I are heading toward a rapture. Amen? Like what somebody said the other day, they said, you know, you look in the Bible, you see that there's eagles and then there's buzzards. The eagles go up, the buzzards eat the people that are here. So which dinner do you want to go to? Think about that for a minute. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. We believe he's here today, right? We believe you brought a piece of him with you, so there we are full of grace and truth. Proverbs 31:10 says, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the Word. Who can find a virtuous woman? That's what we're going to try to background a little bit, because we do have some visitors here. And background just a minute on this. We're not now we always want to be diligent in telling our sisters and our brothers to stay virgins until you're married, all right? Stay there. Strive. Do the best you can, and then give everything you've got to that man or woman that you're getting ready to marry, all right? And if you don't, then, you know, just pray to God that everybody else coming up would hold themselves to a place that who can find. This is Solomon talking about his mother. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? This is Solomon that had so much gold you couldn't even count it. So much gold. I mean, the Vatican ain't got anything in Solomon. Solomon had all, Brother Brown said, richest country, richest man, richest king that ever was. And he says that if you can find one virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies. All right? Now, Genesis 2:9, now we're going to talk about a little this afternoon, I hope we get to it, on knowledge. Now, remember when we talked a little bit Wednesday night about knowledge, you're going to have to pull knowledge apart, because there's Holy Ghost knowledge and there's Satan's knowledge. All right, right here they are, right here in the book of Genesis. And out of the ground, Genesis 2:9, made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food. Now, stop. That's natural food. That's apples, oranges, pears, whatever that grows on a tree now, nuts, fruits, and all that. Is everybody with me? Now, these two trees he's fixing to talk about here, they're not natural trees. All right? Because there's that little pause to stop. He says the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, or in the middle, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So there's two trees there. One of them, God told, if you eat off this tree, you'll live. If you eat off this tree, you're going to die. Right. All right? So there's no in between. You're eating off today. You've walked into this church, and you're eating off one of the two. Now, I know for a fact that you and I have to look, and well, you drove in on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Most of y'all ain't got in your hand right now a lot of evil. Right. Your cell phone. Well, get quiet on me, would you? But that's where it come from. But well, you know what? God is so much smarter than Satan. He'll just let Satan just bring all this out, and then he'll just use it for the glory and honor of the Lord. He'll just use it for you to call and pray for somebody or text somebody, hey, I'm praying for you. I appreciate you. I love you. And then people can say, hey, please pray for me. Where you don't have to get on the phone and do it, you know, 30 or 40 times. You just throw a little WhatsApp out there or Marco Polo, and you can get to a lot of people that can start praying really fast. And we appreciate that. So Satan slipped into God's Eden, but you know what? God slipped right into Satan's Eden and started using what he's already had off that tree of knowledge of good and evil to what? To help us eat off the tree of life. Because who is the tree of life? Not a tree, remember. It's not bark and roots. It's Jesus Christ. He's a root and offspring of David. A root that comes out of the stem of Jesse. Amen? A branch. He's talked about many, many times of being a tree. And that's why they hung him on a tree. All right? Because he was the tree of life. So Isaiah 28:9 says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Who? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. All right? Now, I had a little milk this morning with my toast and egg. But I'm not going to have that again this afternoon. I'm going to have some sweet tea and some Brunswick stew. Got a lot of meat in it. That was good last night at that wedding we were at. So anyway, y'all can watch us eat it. Isaiah 53. Now watch, look. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. We know who this is talking about. It's talking about Jesus Christ. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. His soul, the real being of himself, all right? He shall see his seed, which was his progeny, his children, all right? He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. So there's not anything wrong with God's knowledge, because we're going to have to look at knowledge on the pyramid, and that has nothing to do with God's knowledge. The knowledge of God is so opposite of science and all this out in the world until it's just night and day difference. But sometimes man can't tell the difference between the two because the tree of knowledge of good and evil is so enticing. It's so good. Oh, it's just beautiful, you know. Jesus wasn't very beautiful when he was hanging on the cross, but he was saving your soul and my soul. Amen. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now, how are we going to see that? Bob was talking about this morning. There is one truth. There is not a truth. There is one truth, and it is Jesus Christ. Thy word is truth. This Bible is true. There's not anything in here that's wrong. There's not an error in it. There's not a denomination in it. There's not 14,000 different ideas in it. But man, off the tree of knowledge of good and evil, has been eaten, and he has been eating to what? To discredit this right here. Now, I say man. I say Satan through man. Listen, you don't come up with ideas of your own. You're influenced, and then you make a decision. Everybody with me? You are influenced, and then you make a decision, all right? So what are we going to do? We're going to, the Bible even tells us this, try the spirits. Try the word. Come and see, taste and see that the Lord is good. You can eat off the world's tree, or you can eat off God's tree, one of the two, all right? But he says, sanctify them. Who's them? Us. Through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, so even I also sent them into the world. God didn't save us and put us in a bubble and say, all right, you stay right here. He said, so let your light shine among men. Shine among men. And for their sake I sanctify myself, Jesus Christ, talking about himself, that they also might be sanctified. What? Through a truth? Through the truth. All right, now we know that for the ones that's just here today, sanctification, we know that word. We've always called it sanctification, but really it's a compound word that means you're cleaning something up and you're putting it aside for service. You're not putting it in service yet. It's like washing the glass. The glass was dirty and filthy and like you in the world, and God picked you up out of the mud. He justified you. He said, I'm going to use this glass. I'm going to use this person. But you're still really dirty inside. You got mud in you. You got sticks in you. You got all these different things. But then God takes you by the washing of the water of the word. Come to church. Come to church and let the what? Let Brother Brown say, get them under the fountain. Right. What is a fountain? It's a fountain coming from that tree of life. Right. A fountain flowing with living water. That's what Jesus said. Said, I'll give you living water. You don't worry about this well. I'm going to give you something that'll never run dry. Right. Yeah. So what is he doing? That means that he takes that word and washes us, cleans us up, cleans the glass, and he didn't want to drink out of it yet. He's going to put it here, and then he's going to decide what he's going to do with it. Everybody with me? He's going to decide what to do with this glass. He's either going to let it fall back into the dirt. Because remember, it's still your free moral agency. You can fall right back into the dirt, and you can get all covered with mud again. Because remember, the unclean spirit goes out of a man, walks in dry places, seeketh rest, findeth none, cometh back and brings more mud. Brings more sticks. Brings more junk of the world. And then the person is seven times worse than he started. But if you'll get yourself sanctified, cleaned up, and set aside for service, then what's going to happen is God's going to come into your soul, and he's going to what? He's going to cap it off or seal it off so that it won't get out. All right? This can get out now, look. Mm-hmm. But when I close it up, it won't. That's what God wants to do to give you the Holy Ghost. He wants to drive the unclean spirit out. That's why we don't act like the world. Listen, we should not even think like the world. They're thinking to do this and thinking to do that and thinking to smoke and drink and curse and do all the different things. That's what they're thinking. That's their motive and objective. It's what? The God of this evil age. They're ready today, this Sunday. We got ready to go to church. They got ready to play football. They put their favorite hat on. They put their favorite jacket on. Some of them didn't even put on nothing at all because they're gonna tape their favorite football team over around on their chest and get shown on ESPN. Yeah. That's what the world thought. I hope none of y'all ever thought that. But if you did, the altar's open. I come on Sunday to listen to the Word of God. It's not a day that everybody plays football. And that I enjoy that part. All right? I said I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I get in trouble, so I'm going to say it anyway. I looked the other day, you know, Georgia won the SEC championship. You know, I remember one point, you know. So I did watch the game later. We were here. I watched it afterwards. So they showed a little snippet the next two or three days on YouTube of people in their room, in their house. And they were videoing it with their boys shaking his head. Terrence is too, I think. You know, they're in their living room, and everybody's glued to the television. And as soon as that field goal was missed where Georgia beats Ohio State, I'm not taking anything red with me up there. I'm going to Ohio tonight, so I'm not going to take anything red. I don't want to get shot. So anyway, we're just human beings. But you see those people, they're anticipating something. Kind of like you are now. You're anticipating something. But, buddy, as soon as that guy from Ohio State hooked that field goal and Georgia won, I wish some of y'all would act like that. Lisa'd really have to clean up then. They were throwing stuff, beating each other up, jumping over couches for a ball game. Why can't we do that for the Spirit of God? And let God have his way one day. And let us do that. Let us be under anticipation. And be sitting there under anticipation. Hey, listen, you got to be watching the game to know what happened. You got to be in church. You got to know what you're doing with the Word of God to be happy about when some incident happens that what? The emotion just starts flowing. Right. All right? And it did with them. And it just, I mean, if you, well, looking at it, you go, these people are crazy. They're just idiots. But that's the way we acted when we were out in the world. We did the same identical thing. All right? Jump up and down. Let's jump up and down for Jesus. Let's get something that's a little bit eternal on our mind. All right? But what does God tell us? I'm moving right along. I'm just human. What was the whole deal? It was obeying what God said to do, which brought our power. It brings our power now. It's doing what, obeying what God said to do. What brought virtue is obedience to the Word of God. All right. Now, look, we know, and we don't know if our brothers talked to Brother Donnie much, but we believe God in the end time sent us a prophet. He sent us somebody, and people have a problem with prophets. I don't, because the Bible's full of them. Paul was one, Peter, James, John, all the different ones, Job, Isaiah, all the ones in the Bible, Paul, they were all prophets, and they have no world has no problem with them because they're way back yonder. But when you get in their face and tell them God sent a prophet, according to Malachi 4, according to Luke 17:30, and he was vindicated to take this Bible and give us the truth, not a truth. Not 70 different translations or 7,000 different translations, one translation. All right? So we believe, and that's why we quote him, because we believe, as others quote Charles Stanley, as others quote, nothing wrong with these guys, as others quote John Hagee and the different ones, McCarthy, oh, they'll quote them all day long. Spurgeon, they'll put it up on the screen. They'll quote Spurgeon, and which are great men. But they didn't all have the truth. They had a truth. They were for their time. They you will see them in heaven. Dwight Moody, you will see him in glory. But he didn't have the message of the hour. He was not a vindicated scriptural prophet. We believe that William Branham was a scriptural prophet because he just fit the mold of everything God said we needed in the end time. He fit it, and I believe it, all right? So this is what he said. He said, we're not building an organization. I'm not here this morning to build an organization. Christ never sent me to build an organization. Christ sent me to build individuals, all right? If you want to drink milk, that's okay. That will sustain you, but it will not make you grow in grace and knowledge, grow in strength and virtue and different things, that they might be the powerhouse. You know, if you take little Axel and you just keep giving him milk and giving him milk and giving him milk, and he's 14 years old and you don't give him nothing but milk, he'll be malnourished. That's the same way you are in the gospel. There's a birth. You and I are birthed into this gospel by the new birth, by the Holy Ghost coming into our soul, changing our life, changing who we are. And then what happens? We're a baby. We cry, say, God, please give me. You don't remember that, but you know why? A little bit later on, my kids are almost 40 and, 37. They better not come crying to me for some little something. I say, grow up, boy. That's what God says, though. He tells us. He says, grow up, boy. Grow up, girl. You need to grow up. All right, quit doing these things. I'm over and over again, I'm doing this stuff for you. Grow up, all right? That they might be the what? He's going to build individuals, not just build them and they sit there. They're going to be a what? A powerhouse and the dwelling place of the Spirit of God by his word. By his word, see, build up the individual to that place. And we believe, we're talking about the word virtue. Virtue is strength. It's something that comes from inside of you, and it is pushed out. It's like I said many times before, Logan, if I need somebody to pray for me, I'm not going to the drunk. I'm not going to the mechanic. I'll go to the mechanic if I need my car fixed because I don't have a clue how to fix my car. I know how to go key, turn, and after that, it's yours. All right? I don't even want to pretend that I know how to fix a car. Amen? So I don't, but now if I need something from God, I don't go to the mechanic. I go to where there's strength. I go to where I can draw something out of. I go to God. All right? So should you. You should go to God and not have to go to all these other things. Then the prophet of God tells us it's virtue. Anyone knows what the word virtue means, see? And we must have it. If virtue went from him to heal the woman that was sick, then really it didn't have anything to do with him being a virgin. We know he was. But it didn't have nothing to do with him being a virgin. It's because there was power, and that word power means dunamis, or where we get the word dynamite, which that's the power of the Holy Ghost in a believer, that we cannot keep it with us, that we give it out. Amen. That we can, what? Preach the unreachable, unsearchable reaches of God. To who? To each other and to this world. Amen. This world will never hear about Jesus Christ unless do you. Never. All right? He's expecting the same virtue in his church because he was our example. And if he had virtue to give to the people, he expects us to have virtue to give to the people. And what is virtue? Virtue is strength or power. Today we came to what? As this next word said, we came to what? Pull on God. We came to pull on a gift that God give me, give you, give Brother Joe, give all the different ones to what? To break the spell of what you've had all week. Oh, so y'all been okay all week? Well, pray for me. I got dumped on, and so did Brother Boyd. He's got his hand up twice. But what brought us here? We knew we could get strength here. We knew we could get virtue here. It was a pull. It was pulling us. And we know that the prophet had three pulls in his life, or what? To what? To perform or carry out, to draw the support or attention of. And the first pull was what? He would show his hand, he would hold somebody's hand, and there would bumps go across his hand, and he would tell them that they were sick. Through looking at the hand, flesh. Then the next pull or the next part of his ministry was he would literally bring people up to the platform and he would tell them where they came from, what their mother's name was, what, how many times? Hundreds of thousands of times, never been wrong one time. He'd tell you, he'd say, I see a doctor with a clipboard in his hand. He's blonde and he's got on glasses. How detailed is that? He was looking at the thing. He wasn't guessing. He was looking at the vision of you at the doctor's office. Oh, I see you grabbed your side. He said, oh, it's cancer in your kidney or something. You know, he'd tell him what it was. And he'd say, if you believe, all things are possible. Right. We saw a lot of people, and we have some in our sanctuary today that were in those meetings that saw those things happen, and we still see them happen. You know, that's okay to live. No, it's not. I'm sorry, it's not. It's not okay to live back there. We need to have an updated revelation to where we can see those things happen, all right? The discernment's coming forth from the Word of God now, not so much as a prophetic gift, because that gift was, Brother Brown said, one to a generation. And away said, one to a generation, that kind of gift. But you and I are what? We are required to have gifts of the Spirit. So we all can have a gift. And a gift of discernment and different things, of wisdom and faith and all the speaking in tongues and interpretation. So the second pull, or the second part of his ministry, pulled out the virtues in Brother Branham. Because remember, when he would stand in that line and there'd be 20 or 30 people, and he would tell them who they were and tell them what their issue was, about 20 or 30 people later, he was totally exhausted. Why? Because his humanity was being used by God, and those people were pulling the virtue out of him, and he would actually collapse because of that. But we come now to where we're going to get to a little bit later on, is the opening of the Word or the seven seals. We'll not talk on that too much today because we need to stay like we need to stay. All right? Everybody good? So what today was, as I was thinking the other day, that we quote a lot of things we quote that we don't explain. All right? Because remember, we quoted the quote, this messenger of Malachi 4 will do two things. Remember, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, I mean to the children to the fathers, and then open the seven seals. Well, we just kind of throw that out there. All right? Well, I'm going to try to help us understand. Because, don't show your hands, but how many of you really know when we say the faith of the fathers, can you explain what that is? Can you really explain? When I say we've got to get back to the faith of, well, if I explain something and you don't know what the faith of the fathers are, how do you know you got back there? How do you know those things are working in your life if you don't know what the faith of the fathers is? Now, the fathers is what? Those saints that were way back 2,000 years ago, they saw the Lord Jesus. Most of them did. They got the Holy Ghost right there on the day of Pentecost. And they were the fathers of the gospel. All right? John was during that period of time, and John would take, he was taking the Old Testament, the old saints, and he was showing them a new way. Everybody with me? Say amen. Behold the Lamb of God that take. He didn't say, behold the Lamb that Caiaphas is going to put on the altar. Is that okay if we go this way today? That's okay. I feel like we're led to go this way. He didn't say, behold the Lamb that Caiaphas is going to put on the altar that's going to forgive your sins just for 1 year. If you're a liar, you're going to still be a liar. If you're a thief, you're still going to be a thief. But God covered you by that blood. But when you turn to the New Testament, we knew that the Bible told us that a virgin shall conceive, and that we would have somebody come that would be a counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. I read to you there, and if you want to read who Jesus Christ is, read that book that I told you about. You go into Isaiah 53, and you see what he did for us. So what was John doing? John was in the Old Testament, but he was pointing them from the faith, right? Amen. Got it? Everybody with me? Amen. All right. From them, he's going to turn them to a new gospel. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And this Jesus comes along. And as Jesus comes along, that faith starts building in those fathers. They've got these virtues working in their life. Silver and gold have I none. Read the book of Acts. And as Brother Bob was talking about, discerning whether somebody was holding back a few dollars cost them their life. But that was discernment during that faith of the fathers. But now remember, that got... Well, I'm not going to read it, but it says you've lost your first love. What happened? Man starts getting involved and starts making denominations and tearing the word apart. Isn't that what Satan's job is to tear it apart? God is to build a church. Satan is to tear it apart. All right, so look. Let's watch this right here just for a second, then let's stop. In the Laodicean church age, the prophet of God said, this messenger of Malachi 4 in Revelation is going to do two things. Now, I'm going to make this into two parts. I want to explain this quote. All right? Let him praise the Lord all he wants to. I wish some people, we've got some people never even uttered that in their whole time in this church. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. All right, where were the fathers? The fathers were way back 2,000 years ago. The faith of the fathers. In other words, to what? The foundation of the church. The real church, the foundation, let me say, Brother Michael, of the bride church, not just the church. The church comes through all through that, but the bride continues through. All right? Everybody with me? So Malachi 4 is going to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Because the children have got down to be nothing but just babies, and they accept water baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which is false. They accept that there's hell as eternal, which is false. See, all these false doctrines that they uphold, saying that it's doctrine, and it's not. Amen? Amen. So somebody, God's got to use human flesh. He's not coming back here himself and stand on the earth until everything's done and wiped out. He said, I'm going to do it through my people. And the word was made flesh, your flesh. Satan will be conquered by you. Amen. Devil's, I mean, Jesus has already conquered him. Kicked him out of heaven. He just wants us to do it in flesh. Because Satan said, I'm going to weaken this whole group. I'm going to put them in flesh. They can't stand it. They can't stand God's word. They can't stand up to the trials of life. They can't look what I did to Eve. I only told her just a few words, and the whole world fell. That's what he's thinking about me and you. He's thinking he can whip us because of our weakness in the flesh. And oh my, I'll tell you, week to week, it looks like it sometimes. Everybody with me? Well, if all of you that don't have no problem, pray for us to do. If you don't have a problem in life, I think the devil may already have you. Hello, somebody. So the revelation that Brother Branham was to bring, or this messenger of Malachi 4, according to what we've been talking about, he brings us a revelation of who the Son of God is. Jesus walking on the face of the earth, he was the Son of Man. He was God in human flesh. But now we come to this place to where there's a revelation, the prophet says, through the church ages of the Son of God, which means that there can be, now listen to me real careful, there can be some error in that. Not in God, not in the Word, but in man. God accepted Luther's light as truth of a Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. But what was inside of Luther didn't believe that. It's kind of a paradox there. You think, well, how can that happen? Well, that's how strong the devil is, folks. That's how strong the devil is getting into a church and tearing a church apart. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about church world. All right? Trying to tear the bride up. And what did he do? He did just like he did in heaven. He told his tale. Remember, he told his tale to those angels, and a third of the angels came with him. He's a real good preacher, if you don't understand what I'm talking about. He's not something that sits around with horns and is red and got a tail. No, he's going to tell you a tale, all right. It's going to be a lie. But the devil is beautiful. The Bible says Satan was, Lucifer was the most beautiful angel. And he still is today. Because he'll throw you beauty more than he will to obey the word of God. Amen? Because as we've always said, there's a lot of things in the word of God that we do that the world says, oh, we don't have to do that. We don't have to do that to be a Christian. Well, we don't. What do you mean you got to? What do you mean about this pants and cutting hair and all that? You'll learn that later on. But it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible that you don't do it. Somebody had to tell you you could do it. And it wasn't God. So it had to be what? Man had to be the devil. So the devil's here. I mean, he came to church. He got here before y'all did. Amen? I hope you didn't bring him with you, but he got here before you did. So the revelation of the Son of God, that when the messenger of Malachi 4 is going to do two things. Number one, he's going to what? Turn us back to the faith of the fathers. The faith of the fathers is what? The statue of a perfect man working in our life, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. But now remember, you got to stop there where it says love. Because that wasn't in the church ages. That kind of love. Now the love of God was, but not that kind of love. Everybody with me? Because here's the second one. Because the third pull is, or the third part of his ministry was, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10. Now look, John saw them, but he couldn't write them. Mystery. Keep it. So there is something there. It's not just something floating around in the air. There was something John saw, and God said, or the Christ, that angel, which was Christ, said, no, seal it up, John, till the time of the end. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, that's where we believe that our prophet come in and got involved in the word of God. So in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. See, the seven seals, now let me not make it so strong. I don't mean the seven seals don't have anything to do with the statue of perfect man. But you can come to faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness and brotherly kindness without even knowing what the seals are. Paul didn't know anything about the seals. John's the only one that really wrote anything down about them. But now look, the word of God, though, is like a puzzle. You have to fit that puzzle together. Paul spoke about the seals. John spoke about the seals. Peter spoke about the seals. Everybody spoke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all spoke of it, but it took a prophet in the end time to what? Pull them together. Amen. So it pulled it together. What? It'll be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn what? The hearts of the children. Us that are born again in the message to grow in grace and knowledge. Not old Pentecost. The first part of Brother Brown's ministry was to get old Pentecost, babbling bunch of babies, back to establish the faith of the fathers. Establish what had been lost for 2,000 years. He was establishing that during his first part of his ministry, 47 and about 1963. Is everybody with me? Now listen, we're not a church that believes you need to throw your books away before 1963. You will never understand the seals without that foundation of 1947 to 1963. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, that was when Brother Brown started preaching. And then in 1963, in other words, 61 or 2, he says, I'm fixing to enter into a new phase of my ministry. All right, and that new phase had never been since Jesus Christ was on the face of the earth. That new phase was just for me and you sitting here today. He missed the field goal. That's what you should have said. The devil missed the field goal. And we win. Okay. So that's for us. It's the seals. And you see what I got over here? It's for the seals. Are the Son of Man revelations, which we hadn't got to yet. But we got to have all this foundation to get to here. Because remember, that was what was rejected. Who was the chief headstone? It was the Lord Jesus. They didn't understand all about him walking around in flesh, and he was Almighty God. Not just a piece of God. He was God. Right. Everybody with me? Amen. They couldn't understand that. So that was a mystery. So Irenaeus could say, no, he was God. And then Cerinthius could come along, another minister in the gospel, another message believer. Come on, somebody. He was a preacher, but he was preaching that it was what? A like substance of God. So that carried into 325 A.D. Brother Brown said a lot of old prophets and a lot of people that had the truth went to Nicaea, but there was so much overwhelming power of the devil. Is everybody with me with this? That not sound familiar? It's what's happening now. The overpowering power of the devil in the men changed their doctrine. Changed their doctrine to say, well, I think we'll just take Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's what Jesus said in Matthew. Yeah, I know it's what Jesus said in Matthew. But the name he was talking about is in Acts 2:38. Because what is the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost? The Lord Jesus Christ. I would not give somebody the keys to my house if I didn't think they could handle it. Right? Would you? No, but sure enough, Jesus gave the keys to Peter and said, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. So on the day of Pentecost, Peter loosed a doctrine. And man took it immediately and flipped it around. Oh, we'll take this over here. So that, see, those, so the seals are the Revelations 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, all that in there. Was for the Son of Man coming back in the end time, the chief headstone. Which what's he going to do here? He's going to carry us out of here. All right, the Lord Jesus is going to come back. He's already here, but he's back in his bride now. He's in bride form. He wanted that because look what he says. Look, the evening messenger. This is 1963. This is right before the seals were preached. Actually, 1/16, 1963. Seals were preached in March, right? So look, bring back the church to the word. Now, what is this messenger of Malachi 4 to do? Restore back the original faith, the resurrection faith. What was the sign of the resurrection? The discernment. That was the sign of the Son of Man. Because that's what the sign of the Son of Man is now. Brother Brown stood years and years and years. He said, this is the sign of the Son of Man. That discernment would go for Sarah in the tent behind laughing and him knowing what was going on. Look, restore back the original faith, the resurrection faith. Because remember, they didn't have a resurrection faith. Not all of it. Man immediately said, no, let's make it this. Let's say, well, we can be a Baptist and we can be a Methodist and we can be a Pentecostal and we can be a Presbyterian and... And, you know, each one's got their own little caveat that they can do. You know, Presbyterian, you can drink a little. You know, and the Baptist, they don't mind you smoking a little, but don't drink. And the Presbyterian says, well, we can have a little alcohol, but we're not going to smoke. Well, that ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. Right. If they get the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their soul, they kick both of them out. Right. So who's right? The Holy Ghost is right. Not to smoke and drink and cussing. Listen, that's not sin. Sin is you not believing that the Word of God can take that out of your life. I'm telling you, I didn't smoke, but I chewed tobacco since I was 14 years old. Played baseball, and I went through, I'm talking about Red Man, switched over to Levi Garrett when it was 2-for-1. Dipped snuff. But the day God saved my soul, right here, the day God saved me, my wife's a witness. I had it all over the house. I had it in the car. I owed it to people. You know how you do sometimes, you know, cigarette. Hey, man, you got a cigarette? Yeah, here, take a pack. Well, I had people that I owed chewing tobacco to, so I went and bought it for them. I did because I owed it to them. You strange. Well, this is family here, okay? Y'all call Daddy strange about some things he did. So I was the same way. But you know what? That desire of doing that went away. And I've never had that desire again. I've had that temptation. But I've never had that desire to put that junk in my mouth. Amen? Same way with alcohol, same way with women, same way. What? It was just unbelief. I didn't believe God's word could do that to me. But when I become a believer, that's why they call it believers. When I become a believer, old things passed away. That old clean, unclean spirits went out of me. I didn't want to do that anymore. You know why? Because the want to do it left. And then what? The want to do the will of God came in. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bring back the church to the word. Now, what is this messenger of Malachi for to do? Restore back the original faith. That they seen Jesus after he had raised from the dead, seen him working among them. They were men of few words. They went forth and preached the word. Oh, look, I'm going to read this one. I didn't put it red, but I'm going to read it anyway. Oh, they preached long. Well, don't get quiet. Paul preached all night one time. Make the visitors nervous. Paul preached all night one time. And you know what? A man fell asleep. Some of y'all, if y'all was on the building, we'd be praying for you too. A man fell out of the building and killed himself. He laid his body over him, Paul did, and brought him back to life. You know why? If I'd have been Paul, I'd have said, that was my fault. That was my fault he went to sleep. But boy, the word was so good. And y'all was amening. And he just nodded off and fell out the window. And then Paul went down there and laid on his body on him and what? Brought him right back to life. Amen? So don't get scared. We can pray for the sick. If y'all fall asleep and fall out of the chair. And the Laodicean church age, this is 1960. This is a couple of years before the seals. And the heart of the children to the fathers. Now, when this great Elijah comes in the end of this age, he'll be taking the message of Pentecost, look, to turn the children, what? Pentecostal children. Pentecostal, speaking in tongues. All that is speaking in tongues. You speak in tongues, you got the Holy Ghost. That is not true. Devils speak in tongues. All right? He'll take the message of Pentecost to turn the children to the faith of the fathers because he'll be rebuking them because they didn't keep this same faith that was in the beginning. All right, there's the faith of the fathers, the faith of Paul, Irenaeus, John, Matthew, Luke, all the different ones. All right, read the book of Acts. That's where to be. He'll rebuke them because they didn't keep this same faith that was back there in the beginning. Amen. Now, I believe we pretty well realize it's going to be Elijah, don't we? Now we know it. And there he was standing talking to us. All right, the spirit of Elijah. Brother Brown wasn't Elijah. He had the spirit of Elijah on him because God promised he'd send the spirit of Elijah in the end time, according to Malachi 4. 1961, Abraham's covenant confirmed. Brother Brown said, look, and notice here, the first Elijah was to come, or Elias, he would turn the hearts of the children, well, he messed up. He said the hearts of the fathers to the children. What? See, the old patriarch fathers, the old orthodox, the legalist, the law, he turned it back to the faith of the fathers here to the children. What? The new age. Behold the Lamb of God, like I said before, that takes away the sin of the world. Get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not going to be just an anointing. It's going to be a filling, and it's going to be God entering into a person and doing the work, not just anointing him. The faith of the fathers here to the church, the hearts of the children, this new message that John was preaching, see, of the coming Messiah at hand, he turns the hearts to this. But now watch. The next time John appears, he turns the hearts, he means Elijah, you know that. He turns the hearts of the children back to the faith of the Pentecostal fathers, so it'd be back to the original message. And you'll know when it gets here. A lot of people didn't, folks. But you'll know when it gets here. It's here. It'll be a restoration to send that lukewarm Laodicean church back to that original faith back yonder again. Yes, sir. And he will be anointed to do so. When this Elijah comes, he'll be a prophet. He will pull no punches. He will cut right and left. Amen. What's he talking about restoring? Joel promised it. Right. Right. Joel 2:25 says, I will restore who? God. Will restore to you the years that the locusts eat, cankerworm, caterpillar, palm worm. These are all the same bug eating on the same tree. Yeah. my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Well, now remember, this is after the restoring. Read Restoration of the Bride Tree. He got eat down to a stump. There wasn't much life, but you can't kill God. Amen. Can't kill God. You can make it look, you say, well, where's God? He's in his people. Amen. He's not in your government. He's not in your gas tank. He's not in the car you drive, or he's not even in your place of work. Right. If you're at your place of work, God's there. That's why, folks, I'm telling you, when this world, when the bride leaves this world, think about the absolute chaos that's going to come on this earth. Amen. Family will be against family. They'll fight each other. It's coming, don't worry. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. That's your perfect man. That's where Brother Brown talks about one little nod, just a little nod from God. That's all God had to do. Then nothing's going to stop them. They didn't question and study and hum-haw and worry like we do whether we should do this or that. They went ahead and done it anyhow. Just one little nod from God, that done it. Just as soon. Why? How could they know it was a nod from God? They had these virtues in them. All these qualifications, and the first little nod of God compared with every bit of this and with his word, they knowed it was the word of God, and away they went. Don't have to worry about nothing else. When God spoke it, they went. And we're going to read this right here, probably going to stop right here, so we will pick this up a little bit later on, or this afternoon. A virtuous woman is what? A crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is rottenness in his bone. Right. Folks, God's going to have a bride. He's got one now. Amen. She's virtuous, sinless. We have been washed. Yes. We have been changed back. Yes. What's inside? Listen, you may not be a virgin in your flesh, but God can make you a virgin in your soul. Amen. That's right. Yes. Brother Brown said a woman can be forgiven, but she can't be justified. Once you lose your virginity, it's gone. All right, but thank God for God. Amen. That calls you now by the new birth. He has changed you to a virgin in your soul. Yes. You can't be a virtuous. You can't be a virtuous sinless bride of Jesus Christ without it. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is rottenness to the bone. Listen. The prophet of God and the word of God in the first church age, he said, you have become Nicolaitans, and I hate you. Do we not need to read that? We read it last Wednesday night. God said, you've left your first love. He said, but you also, what I have that you have, I appreciate you hating the Nicolaitan spirit like I hate it. So what's he doing now? A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. All those seven church ages under their messenger were a crown to Jesus Christ. But the ones that were outside of that, he was ashamed of them. God's ashamed of me and you when we do things wrong. But there's something, there's an anchor that holds inside. We're human beings on the outside, folks. We know that. We fall, we make mistakes. But if you got a tie post, if you got a rudder under that ship of yours, that spiritual rudder will tell you what to do. Amen. That spiritual rudder will tell you not to put that cigarette in your mouth, not to put that dip of tobacco, not to say those bad words we used to say. Because what is it? It's the Spirit of God. How can I be a Christian and not act a little bit, try to act a little bit like a Christian or like God? Amen. Yeah, but you this, easy. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. Right. But down inside your soul is something that they don't have. Right. It's something that if you do fall, it'll pick your hind end back up and you'll go do something good. Yeah. I'm a Christian. I'm not counting the ways that I am and the ways that I ain't. You shouldn't either. Right. Man. That's right. Brother Bram said, what did he say? He said the mark of a true believer was that they get back up and start. But you know what? If you fall and stay there, you wasn't a believer to begin with. A believer will fall and get back up and say, God, forgive me of that. I won't do that no more. And then continue on. Because you know what? The devil's going to train all of his guns on us. Listen to this real quick. We'll close. A virtuous woman, in other words, the bride of Christ, cares for her family. She's a hard worker. While she toils faithfully in meeting the needs of her own family, she also doesn't forget to help the other needy people God brings across her path. A virtuous woman also takes the time to look after her own health and be a good steward of her body. We're the body of Christ, right? So our virtuous woman meaning applies to the heart and then to every area of life. Paul says life and godliness, all right? This should help us live life a lot better. As we were saying before, you know what it would be if everybody was a born-again Christian? There'd be no divorce court. There'd be no divorce lawyers, praise God. There'd be no liquor store on the side of the road. I mean, there'd be no alcoholic laws. There'd be no DUIs. There'd be no police department. Well, we'd have deacons. But that's where it's going to be in the new heaven and new earth, isn't it? You ever thought about that? I mean, listen, we're still in humanity. We're stuck, Brother John, in humanity. But we still have a quality that I don't need a DUI law to change for me to get upset about it. I don't have to have a divorce court change the law and me get upset about it. Do you? Cigarettes are $5 a pack now. So? Don't bother me anymore. But you hear the world, that's all they're saying. I'm going to go buy some lottery tickets so I can pay for these. I'm just saying. By being born again bride of Jesus Christ, it automatically makes you think different. And it automatically separates you from the world. You mean you don't cuss no more? No, I don't cuss no more. I used to cuss a lot. Because the cusser's not in me anymore. The cusser died. I didn't say custer. I said cusser. If custer was a cursed cusser, he died too. So. But it applies to the heart. Look, and then every area of your life. You don't need a fresh air diffuser to cover up the cigarette smoke because the preacher's coming to your house. Come on, somebody. That ashtray's full. I ain't had one in my house in 50 years. So why does that bother me? You understand what I'm saying? You say, oh, brother, wait, we got problems. Yeah, we got problems. I'm telling you, you rub shoulders with the world out there. You do. And you see what they're going through. Sure, we're having issues. Sure, we're having problems. But my heavens, we have got a place to go. Amen. We've got a man we can talk to. Amen. We've got a Holy Ghost-filled group of people that we can bind together and not bind together and say, I slipped up and had a couple of drinks the other day. I'm not going back to Alcoholics Anonymous. This is not Alcoholics Anonymous. This is not Reformation. This is restoration, restoring it back to where little Axel there hadn't smoked a cigarette his whole life, has he? Bless his heart. He hadn't drunk a drink of alcohol, has he? Hadn't said a cuss word, has he? Let's get back to that. Well, remember, we're born babes in Christ. Well, the reason we're born babes in Christ is we hadn't done that stuff yet. But now you let him get 13, 14 years old and listen to the world say these things and do these things. We're influenced by this outside world. Let's stand to our feet. A virtuous woman, the bride, come on, musicians, goes in the strength of the Lord and faithfully completes whatever task he has for her to do. Now, what's our task? Our task is to go to a body change. Our task is not just to be Christians and live out our life and die and you know, go to the other side. It's for us to live so close to God that Satan don't know what to do with us. When a person is described as having virtue, it is seen as a quality that sets one apart. Look, apart from everyone else in character, strength, and morality. It is a common characteristic that can be found within the mindset of several women in the Bible, like Ruth, Esther, and Mary, as well as described of others through countless verses. I'll read this and then we'll close. A virtuous person exhibits the joint excellence of reason and character. We haven't even got to knowledge yet, but that has a lot to do with that. That's why knowledge is right. These things are right exactly where they need to be. You got to have Holy Ghost knowledge to even know about temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness. All right? But you got to have virtue, that strength, to have knowledge, know where to go to get it. The virtuous person not only knows what the good thing is to do is, he or she is also emotionally attached to it. That's what I said about the field goal and, you know, your favorite team winning. One day we're going to realize our favorite team's already won. But you know what? That doesn't stop us from glorying about it because we don't know what the end result is exactly. We do know part of it, but there's still an end result that we don't know. You may die tomorrow. I may die tomorrow. You may live. We may be here 10 more years. We don't know that. But we've got a guide that we can live with, and he can tell us exactly what to do. Amen. You love the Lord? We didn't get the knowledge, but we'll get to it this afternoon. But let's sing a song. If you have a need, the altar's open. It rewrote my life. God's mercy rewrote my life. Oh, I should
I appreciate you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Inside me, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Yes, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort. Father, oh, I appreciate you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. And Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me.
Amen. You love the Lord? It's a comfort, man. This world is falling apart. Don't ever put your confidence on the world. Ever. We put confidence in doctors and different things to help, but God's the healer. And that's why we take these prayer cloths that we know in the book of Acts that they took cloths off of Paul. He was so anointed. Have you thought about that? He was so anointed that even his clothes were anointed. But it was a belief that they had. It was that contact. We need contact with God, then we take these prayer cloths and we anoint them with oil and we give them to you. And we've seen cancer healed. That's right. We've seen broken bones go back together. We've seen people filled with the Holy Ghost. We've seen you. There's one standing there in the very back with a black shirt on that keeps a prayer cloth with him all the time. He shouldn't actually be here. There's a lot of you shouldn't be here. Brother Darty, different ones that are they're not here today because of coming Brother Colley. But we've seen God. It's not hocus pocus, and it's not something that's weird. It's something that God told us to do. He said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Anoint them with oil.
That's right.
And pray the prayer of faith and you'll be healed. So whatever you believe today, you need to believe that God can do it. Satan's not going to do it for you. He's going to make it worse. God's going to do it for you and make it better. God cannot. Listen, God can't go against his own self. Amen. He has to be truth. has to be truth. He can't lie. Boy, what about a world to be when nobody can lie? Santa Claus would have a hard problem. Brother Bob, you want to come on up? And Brother Luis and Sister Christine, the kids. Nyla, you back here? All right. Brother Michael, come on up. All of you that are going to Nicaragua, I'm going to give you a prayer cloth each. Put them where you want to. We're going to pray. Listen, that's a long travel. That's a lot of miles. I asked Bob a few minutes ago, I said, did you take a day off after you got back? He said, no. I said, you'll wish you had.
Pray for negative results on the test.
Yes, we'll do that. How many is going? One, five, six, seven. Where's Jordan? Eight. What, come in here. You got it? Everybody's here then. This is everybody that's going. All right, listen, we're going to pray for safe travel, but we're also going to pray that Brother Luis is looking at a COVID test today, right? Just a little while. All of you. Okay, so all of you, we're going to pray that that thing's negative because they want to get out of here and go to Nicaragua and help the bride over there. They got some family members they need to meet over there that they probably never met before. So Brother Bob's never been out of the country, so it's going to be a new thing for him, and we're going to pray with him. We're going to pray with Brother Luis. He'll know where he's going. He'll know where he's going because he can talk like they do. Be glad he's going with you. Okay. Jordan, you got one? Get one to one for you. All right. One for the mama. Gotta take care of these kids. All right, they're going to Nicaragua. They're leaving Wednesday and they're coming back on the 23rd. We're gonna pray for that and a negative COVID test. I want all of you to pray for this COVID thing. I don't want it to come back. I know it's come back in a little form, different places. We don't want that stuff. Man, we don't even want a cold. Well, I hate it when, you know, people like Bob, you know, talking like this. It messes your system up. You know, it fogs your brain. I mean, some of us are foggy-brained anyway, so it really fogs some of our brains. So we're going to pray that they'll listen. This will be an influence to the youth over there. This right here, these four, five, will be an influence to the youth and young adults that are going up there. And I know Zoe's going to get over there and play all kind of instruments. And you taking your violin? Yeah? Okay. All right. Well, see, they're going to take and they're going to play for the glory of the Lord. And I pray that they play with an anointing that'll so saturate that building till they'll act like that Ohio State missed a field goal. And they do it sometimes in the foreign countries. They do act that way. And we appreciate that. We as Americans, sometimes we get a little bit, you know, we're safe and sound and everything's good and comfortable. Bob's going to find out. He's going to get out of his comfort zone. And you're going to be glad when you get back home. America may be a terrible place to live, but there ain't no place like home. Don't stick me over there somewhere. I'm an American. And I'm, yeah, right. We know that, don't we? I've been to Jamaica 11 times and been to the Philippines twice. So I kind of know what I'm talking about. So we're going to pray for them, though, that the test will be negative and that they'll have a safe trip. And also, while you're praying, pray for me, because when I get finished this afternoon, I'll be leaving about 4 o'clock to get a flight to Ohio and be with them a couple of days. Amen? So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you're here today. You're here today in your believers, Lord. And as we bind together as one, we pray that you would just, number one, Lord, let every test be negative for this old COVID virus, Lord, that they can get on the plane and leave and go to Nicaragua, Lord. We pray then, Lord, that the flight will be safe, that nobody will get behind, Lord, and they won't lose their luggage. And we've had that done several times with ourselves, Lord, and it's not nice. I pray that you would just make this trip supernatural. That it not be a natural journey. This is not a vacation, folks, I'm telling you. This will be for the glory of the Lord. It'll be that they might be tired and weary, Lord, a few days into the journey, Lord, preaching and driving and playing instruments. But, Lord, let them remember that, Lord, if they're laying somewhere and they're not feeling well or they're really tired, that there's a group of people. in Lula, Georgia, that's praying for them, Lord. A support group that is supporting them, Lord. That's not just monetarily, but mostly with our prayers, because I'd rather have a prayer than money any day. Father, I pray that you'd be with them, Lord, as Brother Bob and Brother Luis ministers and Brother Michael, different ones, Lord, speaks to the people, Father, and the sisters, Lord, as they play and testify, and as they be among the youth of that country, Lord, I pray that you would bind them together, Lord, as one, because we're the bride of Jesus Christ all around the world. Help Brother Luis, Lord, as he probably will be doing some double duty in interpreting for Brother Bob, Lord. We pray that you'd strengthen him, Father. Just be with him, Lord, and may we get super reports, Lord. We see God working in the lives of our people. Father, just bless each one. Be with me, Lord, as I continue on this evening, Lord, to get on the plane, go to Ohio, that you'd give us strength, Lord, and be there a couple of days with them, helping them out some. And then come together, Lord, back on Wednesday, be with Brother Aaron, and bless him, Father. Just take care of us now as we go eat a natural meal and come back at 2 o'clock, Lord. We pray that you just be with each one, Father. Be with the ones that are sick with COVID and different things, Lord, has not been able to be among us. Brother Collie with his leg and different things, Lord. We pray that you just help them, Lord. Sanctify us all for this journey, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Oh, he has risen from the dead.